Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Hare Bol, 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 H श्री गोपाल हरिनाम संकीर्तन की श्रीला प्रभुपाद की गौरभक्त वृंद की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की ओम अज्ञानतिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकया चक्षुः उन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमावों विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे नमो महावदन्याय कृष्णप्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्यनाम्ने गौरत्विषे नमः हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्तराधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गि राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानोऽसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः
This is the verse, no? No, this is not the verse. Huh?
Dayaya sarva bhuteshu santushtyayena kenava सर्वेन्द्रियोपशान्त्याच तुष्यत्याशु जनार्दन दयया सर्वभूतेषु संतुष्ट्या येन केन वा सर्वेन्द्रियोपशान्त्याच तुष्यत्याशु जनार्दन. सर्वभूतेषु संतुष्ट्या येन केन वा सर्वेन्द्रियोपशान्त्या च तुष्यत्याशु जनार्दन. जयया बै शोयिंग मर्सी सर्वभूतेषु टू ऑल लिविंग एंटिटीज संतुष्ट्या बै बीइंग सैटिस्फाइड येन केन वा समहव ऑर अदर सर्व इंद्रिय ऑल द सेंसेस उपशांत्या बाय कंट्रोलिंग च ऑल्सो तुष्यति बिकम सैटिस्फाइड आशु वेरी सून जनार्दन द लॉर्ड ऑफ ऑल लिविंग एंटिटीज ट्रांसलेशन पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस इसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद श्रील प्रभुपाद की बाय शोइंग मर्सी टू ऑल लिविंग एंटिटीज बीइंग सैटिस्फाइड समहाउ और अदर एंड कंट्रोलिंग द सेंसेस फ्रॉम सेंस एंजॉयमेंट वन कैन वेरी क्विकली सैटिस्फाई द सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड जनार्दन अपॉन बाय डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील प्रभुपाद की. These are some of the ways in which the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be satisfied by the devotee. The first item mentioned is Dayaya Sarva Bhuteshu, showing mercy to all conditioned souls. The best way to show mercy is to spread Krishna consciousness. The entire world is suffering for want of this knowledge. People should know that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the original cause of everything. Knowing this, everyone should directly engage in his devotional service. Those who are actually learned, advanced in spiritual understanding should preach Krishna consciousness all over the world so that the people may take to it and make their life successful. Then the word Sarvabhuteshu is significant because it applies not only to human beings but to all the living entities appearing in the 8.4 million species of life. The devotee can do good not only to humanity but to all living entities as well. Everyone can benefit spiritually by the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Like if you do Harinam Sankirtan, all the trees, plants, animals, they also benefit. So when the transcendental vibration of Hare Krishna is sounded, even the trees, animals and insects benefit. Thus when one chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra loudly, he actually shows mercy to all living entities. To spread the Krishna consciousness movement throughout the world, the devotee should be satisfied in all conditions.
नारायण परा सर्वे न कुतश्चन विभ्यति स्वर्गापवर्ग नरकेष्वपि तुल्यार्थ दर्शिनः.
It does not matter to the pure devotee if he has to go to hell to preach. The Supreme Lord lives in the heart of a hog, although the Lord is in Vaikuntha. Even while preaching in hell, a pure devotee remains a pure devotee by his constant association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To attain this state, one has to control his senses. The senses are automatically controlled when one's mind is engaged in the service of the Lord. Yeah. What a beautiful connection. How Prabhupada is bringing. It's a very important verse. Three things are said. Dayaya sarvabhuteshu. Santushtya yena kenava. Sarvendriya upashantyacha. Tushyatyash janardana. Prabhupada saying Dayaya sarvabhuteshu means one who is spiritually advanced should not keep the knowledge with himself, but one should preach to all the suffering souls in the world. And then he says, if one has to go all over the world and preach to the suffering souls, then one should be santushta yena kenava. You know, whatever little place you may get to stay, it is all right. You may, in all the places, you may not get nice food to eat, nice bathroom facility, accommodation facility, you may not get good transport. So one should be satisfied in all conditions, whatever facilities are little available. One is a missionary, one is ready to accept Krishna given little facilities and go on preaching. And not only that, if one has to preach to all types of people, some places like the hippie land or the Bowery may be very hellish.
But a devotee should be ready to go to even such places to preach, because he is saying that the Lord goes with a jiva who resides in the body of a pig or a dog or a worm in the stool. If Lord is going to such places to give company to the jiva and to provide him knowledge and take him back to Godhead, following in the footsteps of the Lord, the devotee should not fear to extend oneself even to the degraded people to give them knowledge and turn them back to Krishna, like Lord Nityananda did with Jagai Madai, isn't it? So, and then he's saying, so in that way, if one has to go to such degraded places, then one will find the men and women will have no culture, they will have free mixing, and they will not be dressed properly. Their eating habits will be all kinds of dirty things they will be eating. Na pravrittim cha nivrittim cha janana vidurasura na chaivam na pichacharo na shaucham na pichacharo na satyam teshu vidyate. People will be not knowing what is to be done, what is not to be done, and not clean, no sanskaras, no good behavior. They may treat anybody in any way. So then one has to have control of senses. Because one's senses are not controlled, one will fall down and become degraded like them. Like you see, Ajamila saw a prostitute and he fell down. Haridas Thakur saw a prostitute and made her a pure devotee. Both saw a prostitute. One saw a prostitute and fell down. Another saw a prostitute and got and made her elevated as a pure devotee. So, therefore, because Haridas Thakur had controlled senses, like that he is saying, then even while giving association to every degraded person, one will not get degraded oneself, but one will be able to elevate them. Such a beautiful connection he is giving. Isn't it? Yeah, sarva bhuteshu. Sarva bhuteshu means don't be merciful only to humans. Be merciful to even the trees and plants and animals, and even those who may be antyajas, people who may be outside, outcasts also. People. So, preach to all types of people. Ayya sarva bhuteshu. And so a devotee is not worried about what I get by this preaching. And therefore, santushtya yana kenava. A devotee is satisfied with whatever, you know, amenities, facilities are provided for him to preach. He is least concerned about what type of arrangements are made. Rather, his whole focus is about giving the mercy to the suffering living entities. Santushtya yena kenava sarvendra upashanti acha. And he has to control his senses to be able to purify and elevate those souls who are very degraded. Otherwise, he has to run away to the jungle and remain all alone. So, these three principles please Lord Krishna. Tushyati Ashu, not only Tushyati, Tushyati Ashu means quickly they please Krishna. One, these three things. So, Daya Sarva Bhuteshu, you have to be compassionate to the living entities. You will see that a preacher, imagine if it is a little raining, then preacher is peeping out of the window and saying, oh, today is a rainy day, so I'll cancel my program. It's very easy to cancel our program on a rainy day. Or you are looking for a nice, comfortable vehicle to go for the program, or someone to come and pick you up. And if it doesn't happen, then you think, oh, there is no good vehicle available, traffic is heavy, so better cancel the program. So, a preacher who is more concerned about one's comfort level cannot preach. The preacher has to forego his comforts, forego his luxuries to be able to extend oneself for giving out the message of Krishna consciousness. So, if his compassion for the suffering souls is very deep, then he will be least concerned about his comforts and he'll be most worried about their suffering, isn't it? So, and also for a preacher, he should be able to see the spark of Krishna consciousness in the heart of those whom he is preaching to be far more prominent than their bad qualities. For example, Prabhupada saw the hippies. Do you think Prabhupada did not see what bad habits they have? They were smoking, drinking, taking drugs and free mixing between man and woman. With all this baggage of degradation that they were carrying, they also had a spark of inclination for music and for learning the Eastern philosophy. So he saw that spark and Prabhupada understood that, let me fan this spark and increase it like a flagrant fire so that that fire will burn down all the baggage of their impurities. So he could do that. He could see. So in this way, this is a preacher. The preacher should be able to see and fan the spark of Krishna consciousness in those to whom he is preaching to. And Haridas Thakur also saw a spark of desire in the heart of the prostitute to sit down and listen to the chanting of the holy name. And he was fully confident, if she hears me 3 days, that's all, she will lose all her impurity. And that exactly happened. So she had a big baggage of impurity as a prostitute. But that was all burned down by her one spark of desire for hearing the holy name. And in this way, great souls are able to see that spark of Krishna consciousness and fan it. And if a preacher is not able to do that, a preacher may oftentimes reject a candidate as unfit for training, unfit to be trained. So in this way, at the end of the day, you may get nobody to be trained. So here is a great secret revealed by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He says that the preacher should not distinguish not only between humans and animals and trees here, as Prabhupada says, you should preach to all. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, you should not distinguish them as educated, uneducated, rich or poor, black or white, upper class or lower class. You should not do that. You should get everybody together and bestow upon them the greatest glory of Kali Yuga, which is Sankirtan movement. Make them all chant and dance and participate in Sankirtan, irrespective of the classes that are made in society as upper class, lower class, educated, uneducated, black, white, poor, rich, all those things, he says. Instead, you should differentiate between a liberated soul and a conditioned soul. You should distinguish between those inside the jail and those outside the jail. So all the people in this universe are all inside the jail of the material world. So they are in one category only. So put all human beings in one category only. Like that he says. Then only the Sankirtan movement can be spreaded far and wide. But if you are going to distinguish between the classes, if you preach to rich classes only, then the poor classes will find fault with you. They will say that you are humiliating us and they will send out grievance signals by which everything will be spoiled. Similarly, if you preach to educated class only, then uneducated class feel that they are insulted and they are actually, this movement is for one and all, for everybody. So this is for the preacher, one who is preaching. You should be able to preach to all people without material differentiation, materially differentiating their bodies. So we need to do that Pandita Samadarshinaha. At the same time, we should distinguish between a liberated soul and conditioned soul. That type of... Don't differentiate between those who are in earth and those who are in heaven. Earth and heaven, both are ultimately material pleasure only. Distinguish between people inside this universe and those who are in Goloka. Make differentiation like that, he says. So, this is for the preacher. So, those who are preachers, they have to be free from jana aparad. What is called jana aparad? When you, in our daily life, we encounter non-devotee karmis, and when we look at them, what feelings arise in our heart is very important. Imagine a non-devotee is eating mutton or meat. He is eating, he is smoking a cigarette. And he is watching some movie in the mobile. And he is wearing shorts, Bermuda shorts. And his wife and children, everybody is eating. Blah, 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 all are eating. Buying in the train and eating. When thumbs up comes, they drink thumbs up. When bun comes, they buy the bun. When, they mix everything and bail. They buy everything and eat all kinds of things. They are buying some pan and eating pan also. So when you see these kind of people, every time they do different eating and you are looking at them, you know, you feel, all right, they are eating like pigs. They are eating, leading such dirty lives. What quality of speech they have amongst one another. What quality of food they are eating. What kind of dress they are wearing. What kind of noise they are making till 12 o'clock at night, sitting and playing cards and, you know, doing all nonsensical activities. And human form of life they got, but they are not using in Krishna's service. And they are rotting in the material world. They are living like pigs or buffaloes. We may think like that in the mind. We may not tell that outside. So if I think like that, what is the outcome of my thinking? If my outcome is, I feel mercy for them, dayaya sarva bhuteshu, then it is very wonderful. You think that, let me get down from the birth, I am simply reading Bhagavatam, let me get down, give them a Prabhupada's book, or sit with them and tell them about our temple. Maybe they will change. That is a possibility. So, if you don't think like that, if you think that, oh, they are useless fellows, good for nothing, horrible, like two-legged animals, vipada pashu, then we do aparad to them. That is called janaparad. Janaparad actually means being harsh with conditioned souls who have no taste for Krishna consciousness, who are very materialistic. Then they lose the opportunity for becoming Krishna conscious. If we don't show some sympathy for them, then where is the hope for them to come out of their current lifestyle? Do you want them to continue this lifestyle, or you want them to modify their behavior with wearing tilak, wearing dhoti kurta, chanting, dancing, becoming a devotee? So if you want a paradigm shift in their lives, we have to have a paradigm shift in our heads first. Our paradigm shift should be thinking them to be two-legged animals. And instead of that paradigm, we should change the paradigm to thinking that here is a prospective candidate for Lord Nityananda. Either one should think. But Nityananda Prabhu very delights in preaching to such people. When you see, at least these people are not as bad as Jagai and Madai, isn't it? Jagai and Madai would beat you up if they see you. But these people won't beat you up. They are doing their own thing. So we have to give up the janaparad while preaching to them. Now, here the whole talk is about preaching, but we can also talk about those who have already become devotees and come into the fold of our temple. Say there are temple devotees who are full-time devotees. So then they are preached devotees. Then after preaching comes managing, is it not? So the managers, how they should see the temple devotees? They should not see them as only some kind of resource, as they use the word resource in companies, human resource development. They see them as a resource for engaging in service. That is a very impersonal way of watching at the devotees. So not only that, the managers need sympathy and empathy. Sympathy to know the situation of each of the living entities who have dedicated their lives. Actually, anybody who is coming into the movement, chanting 16 rounds, following the four legs, and all of us are struggling in Krishna consciousness. We can see in our own way, my mind can give us a lot of difficulty in chanting the name of the Lord. Then the body and senses can give headache. Then health may not cooperate many times. Our own baggage of bad behavior and habits from the previous lives will also trouble us in this current life. So with all this baggage of problems, we are dragging this baggage of problems with us, and along with that a person is trying to be a devotee. So those who have become devotees and those who are convinced that this is the path. So we need sympathy for their background and everything. And then if you feel sympathy, the managers see them with the sympathy. That is also Daya Sarva Bhuteshu. And empathy means many times we may not be able to put ourselves in the shoes of somebody, you know, who has a unique problem or a specific problem. Some devotee is undergoing a specific problem. So he has a particular ailment in the body, which only he only knows. So therefore one needs empathy to be able to see the situation. Like for example, the boy who is joining the ashram newly, for him the parents' situation is a big threat for him. How will I face them? How will I manage them? And somebody who has been in the temple 10-15 years, he will say, what is this? You know, it's a peanuts problem. You know, you just tell them, this is what you wish to do. He may think, you may not know. One has to have empathy. Empathy actually means to be able to put ourselves in their shoes and experience the problem that they are experiencing. That is actually called empathy. And sympathy means you be in your own position and look at their pitiable situation and then you feel sympathy for them. So this sympathy, empathy is also dayaya, sarva bhuteshu. Ideally speaking, a manager should see that, oh, these people have given up everything and they have come here to the temple, to live in the temple. Many of them are educated people. Many of the, even the uneducated people are coming from well-to-do families. But they have taken a forward step, an initiative to come to Krishna. So how glorious it is. You know, they are coming and living in the temple, living in the ashrama. Or living even as a community members of the congregation, even that is not easy. Actually, congregation devotees who are chanting 16 rounds, following 4 rags, and wearing tilak, kantimala, and chanting, many of them have actually become cut off from their material relatives and friends. And for them, the devotees have become the only shelter for them. So they also require the same type of sympathy, empathy we were saying when it comes to getting any service done from them, like we were saying. And those who are counseling the people, generally you find that in counselors there are different type of counselors. Some counselors deal with the counselor in such a way that counselor cannot reveal the mind only at all. The counselor can take help. There's no question of taking help. So the counselors many times don't reveal. And sometimes the counselors are not examples. Counselors are supposed to be like mother and father for the counselee. But the counselors are bad examples in terms of their exemplary sadhana is not there. Exemplary dealings, behavior is not there. They are not exemplary in their character. So then the people who are under them get very disturbed in their mind. They don't know whom to go and reveal. This is the person whom I consider as my role model. But that person is lacking good behavior and character. And worst still is a counselor who is offering shelter, you know, if he is eloping with a woman or swindling money or committing aparads against senior leaders and talking ill of them, criticizing them to somebody, to the counselees, talking ill of them, and also not following the system of ISKCON and talking against ISKCON. And talking against GBC, talking against leaders of ISKCON. Such counselors are killers of the counselees. They will actually destroy the spiritual life of people, and they have not destroyed in the past also. So if you really want to be merciful to the people who are put in your custody as counselees, one has to set a good example in terms of all these things. Actually, although one may know a lot of things, the problems in ISKCON, but one should oneself become a problem solver rather than one who is making this problem spread everywhere in terms of from one mouth to another ear and from that person's mouth to another ear, isn't it? So we should be a healer, like a healing cell, not a diseased cell. isn't it? So all this is mercy, dayaya, sarvabhuteshu. And santushtya yena kena va, he is saying. The word santushti is a very important thing. In Srimad Bhagavatam, in several places it comes, I will show some verses. Here the verse, very beautiful verse.
Sada santushta manasah sarva shiva mayadishah sharkara kantakadibhyo yatopanat padashivam.
7:15-17. This verse says, for a person who has suitable shoes on his feet, there is no danger, even when he walks on pebbles and thorns. For him, everything is auspicious. Similarly, for one who is always self-satisfied, there is no distress. Indeed, he feels happiness everywhere. Sarva shivamaya adishaha. In any direction he goes, which means he may go to west, he may go to east, he may go to other countries, he may be in the same country, or he may sometimes be put in a situation of comfort, or sometimes put in a situation of, you know, lack of comfort. So he is always satisfied. Santushtya yena kena va, he is saying. So, and what is that shoe, gambut, shoe that he is wearing, that is called satisfaction. Actually, satisfaction is one of the austerities of the mind. He says, you know, mana prasada somyatvam maunam atma vinigraha bhava samshuddhiritya tapah manasam uchyate. 5 S's are mentioned here. Mana prasada, satisfaction. Samyatvam, simplicity. Maunam, silence or gravity. Atma vinigraha, self control. And indriya, and then atma vinigraha, indriyarteshu, bhava samshuddhi. That means sanctification of senses. So these are 5 S's of the mind. So manaprasada samyatva. Manaprasada means first thing is said to be satisfaction. Mind cannot be satisfied if it is impure. Because the impure mind has fruitive desires, which means desires for indulging in fruitive activities and squeezing some pleasure out of it. So the impure mind is always chasing after either, you know, material pleasures, earthly pleasure, heavenly pleasure, or attaining siddhis, or one is thoroughly frustrated chasing after the impure desires, then one is kicked several times, one is frustrated, one wants to go to Brahma Jyoti and relax there, which is impersonal merging of the desire of the jnani. So karmis, jnanis, yogis, they all have, therefore, avishuddha buddhayah, the word is used. No? Either karmis are called alpa buddhayah and jnanis are called avishuddha buddhayah. And yogi is called akshina vasanam rajan drishyate punaruttitam. Yogis have akshina vasanas. Vasanas, that means vasanas which are not yet destroyed, impure vasanas, which will create kama karma, bijas. And jnanis have avishuddha buddhi, impure intelligence. And karmis have no buddhi, it says alpa buddhayah. So because of this situation, their minds are not peaceful. Their minds are always very disturbed. And therefore, a devotee of the Lord, if a devotee of the Lord also, in the growing stage as a devotee, the mind is not pure. So if you see the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, there are 2 stages mentioned there, Yoga Rurukshu and Yoga Ruda. Yoga Rurukshu is like a preliminary stage. Yoga Rudha is the perfected stage. So yoga ruksha person's mind is not yet pure. So he has to do sadhana now, in order to purify the mind. So when he comes to the yoga ruksha stage, at least he'll be able to see the pebble and stones alike. Samalostrashma kanchanaha. Then when he comes to the yoga ruda stage, he can see suran mitrari udasina dveshyasta madhyasta dveshya bandushu sadushvapicha papeshu samabuddhir vishishyate. He'll be able to see the saintly person as well as somebody who is asadhu, one who is a neutral person, one who is his enemy, and all these people can see them equally, because he transcends the friend and enemy business. Like Prahlad Maharaj, he never could see anybody as friend or enemy. He saw every jiva equally. He saw Ambarish Maharaj also, he never saw Durvasamani as an enemy. Parikshit Maharaj never saw Sringi as an enemy, although these people caused a lot of harm to them. So they can't see. So the yoga ruda stage is a stage where one's mind is so pure and so absorbed in the super soul, and one is experiencing a great ecstatic bliss. And in this world, they see every living entity as children of God. That is one realization. Another realization in the yoga ruda stage is that jitātmana prashantātmā paramātmā samāhitaḥ śītoṣṇa sukha dukkheṣu tatā mānā apamānayo. He will be satisfied in any situation. Nārāyaṇa parā sarve na kutaścana bibhyati svargāpavarga narakeṣu apituḷyārtha darśanaḥ. You put a devotee in hell like Bavari, hippie land, he will preach Krishna consciousness there. You put him in heaven, he will deliver all the demigods back to Godhead. You put him in spiritual world, he will associate with Krishna. He doesn't care what situation you put him. You give him meager facilities or give him abundant facilities. His goal is to give Krishna to others. So, therefore you find Shita Ushna Sukaduka Mana Paman. For me, the most favorite example for this verse is Jadabharat. Jadabharat, you will see, he was given burnt rice by his brothers. He ate it, no problem. He tolerated that suffering given by his brothers. Later on, some of the dacoits captured him in the jungle and they gave him very nice food. Very nice big plate of pulao, kadhi, rasamalai, puran poli, everything they gave. Very big plate, they fed him. They bathed him first, put kumkum chandan, put a garland, put silk dress in his body and gave him a big plate of food to eat. And Jadavrata accepted now. So these are all sukham. They gave him so much sukh. So when he was dealing with his brothers and father, that is Shita Ushna. Why? Because something unpalatable for the body is Shita Ushna. His father was actually very warm in dealing with him. He was trying to treat the boy like a Brahmana boy and trying to give him samskaras. So father was giving comfort and the brothers were giving discomfort. Later on, the dacoits, they were giving nice food to eat. They gave sukha, pleasure. But then they took a chopper to cut his neck. That is a great pain, isn't it? So in both situations, he was equipoised. He was just sitting like this, like a child dependent on the parents. Rake Krishna mare ke, mare Krishna rake ke. He was depending on Krishna. Then when he was taken by the palanquin carriers of Rahugana, there he had to carry the palki on his shoulder, which he had never done before. Naturally, not only that, he was insulted with sharp words and sarcastic words. Actually, in this, out of the six items, the last two are the most painful, man, apaman. Shita Ushna, also tolerable. And Sukha Dukha is a little more difficult. What is that verse? Very famous verse. Na prakrishyet priyam prapya, no dvijet prapya cha priyam, stirabuddhi rasam moodho, brahmani brahmavid, brahmavid brahmani stitaha. He says, na prakrishyet priyam prapya. Prakrishyet means jolly. Priyam prapya. Oh my God, there's some people don't know how to express a jolly. I'm so jolly, I'm too jolly. They feel like that. Na prakrishyet priyam prapya. And na udvijet prapya cha apriyam. If you get that which is apriya, you got to fail in some examination. Then one feels very morose and one cries, and he goes to cry to many people and say, you also cry with me and, you know, give me encouragement. You share my sorrow. They go around crying to everybody, making everybody's spirit low. So don't do that, he says. Sthira buddhi rasam moodho. Have a sthira buddhi, he's saying. In both the situations. In sukha dukkha, amana apaman. Sukha dukkha same kritva labha labhav jaya jayav. Tasmad yuddhaya yujyasva. He's saying that sukha dukkha same kritva. Be equipoised. That is little more difficult than chitta ushna. More difficult than that is what? Third one? Mana apaman. First of all, Rahuguna chastised him very badly, sarcastically. Then he jumped off from the palanquin and caught hold of his feet and accepted him as a guru and offered him tremendous honor. He told, who are you? Are you Dattatreya? Are you one of the four Kumaras? Like that he spoke to him. So, mana apaman. So, in one person's life, he experienced all the six. And he was equipoised. This is the meaning of santushtya yena kena va. Isn't it? In all circumstances, Jadabharata was satisfied. And the third one, what was the third one he had said? Sarvendri upashantyacha. Sarvendri upashantyacha. He's saying. Tushyatyajanana. Which means one should control one's senses. He says that. When one controlling the senses from sense enjoyment. See, the mind becomes miserable when the senses contact the sense objects and try to enjoy, then the mind becomes miserable. Yehi samsparshaja bhoga dukkhayone evate. Adyanta vantak kaunte nateshramate buddha. He said, right from the beginning, you will find that beginning to end, it's a source of misery when senses and sense objects come in contact. Like for example, one should accept sense gratification, which is allowed in the scripture for us, in such a way that while accepting that sense gratification, we should not aggravate the senses. Like the Prabhupada writes, what is the meaning of that? I am eating prasad. I should eat prasad in such a mild prasad that my tongue will not get titillated and agitated, wanting more and more to eat, or very fine quality of food to eat. And one should eat very very simple, mild, then the senses will be calm. Similarly, sleeping. Prabhupada says, if a person has a tendency to overeat, then instead of getting sleep, he will get dreams at night, he says. And such a person who gets dreams at night, he will need to sleep longer. 7 or 8 or 9 hours, he will have to sleep. And a person who eats a lot and sleeps longer, his senses become uncontrolled, he says. So now, therefore, eating should be very moderate, small quantity one should eat, and eating should be mild in such a way that it is calming the senses, not agitating the senses, aggravating the tongue to eat opulent foods and more food and all. Then the sleeping would be very nice sleep. One gets 6 hours max, one gets a sleep, and then one is fresh for Krishna's service, one is up like that, yeah, he's saying. So in this way, Baladeva Vidya Bhushan, in that same verse commentary, he says that also a devotee should talk less, he says. One should not unnecessarily waste his energy of speech unless he can continuously glorify Krishna. One should avoid prajalpa. That also is included in Yuktahara Viharasya. He says, only as much as is needed to talk, a devotee should talk. Otherwise, not waste one's energy. He says, in this way, if you really actually want to take away the senses, away from sense objects, these are regulations given. The regulation is in eating, in sleeping, in recreation, in speaking, and in dressing, in all these things. Therefore, even Mahaprabhu told Raghunath Das, Palana Kaibe, Palana Padibe, Hridayate Sarvada Radha Krishna Sevibe, Gramya Vartana Kahibe, Gramya Vartana Shunibe. Don't hear prajalpa, don't talk prajalpa, don't eat too much, don't dress like a vishayi, and all those things he said. These are all regulative principles. So these are actually ways to make our senses not get aggravated. Because once we aggravate the senses and they run towards the sense objects and our mind is also not yet pure, then it may be very difficult for us to stop the senses from running after sense objects. For example, A man has to deal with a woman. Then a man has to have a respectful distance from a woman, like the butterfire principle that is given in the Shastra. And by that he will not aggravate his mind and senses. But if he crosses the Lakshman Rekha, then the result would be his senses are aggravated and the mind becomes more and more putrefied, more impure. Then the senses will demand satisfaction. Result? Then one will fall prey to the senses. What happened with Vishwamitra? Like this. So in this way, one has to control the senses. Now, one of the acharyas has said that, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur says, that you have to beat the mind on the anvil. He says, you know anvil? Anvil is used in a smithy shop. In a smithy shop, what we do? We heat the rod in fire. After it is solidly heated, red hot, white hot, yellow hot, then you put it on the anvil. It looks like a mouse type of thing it looks. But keep it on the top of the anvil, take a hammer and like that you hit it. Then the shape can be changed. Which shape? The rod shape, round rod can be made into a square cross section. You can make it like that by beating with a hammer like that. And this is how we can transform our personality. Like we put ourselves in Krishna mind and Krishna conscious activities. Which is like putting iron rod in fire. And we should restrain the mind from taking dictation from the senses. Rather, we should always tell the mind to take dictation from Paramatma. And how is it done? By taking instruction from Hari Guru Vaishnavas. Hari Guru Vaishnavas, exactly, they are the ones who are easily accessible to us, representing our super soul. Because super soul, we can't hear his sound now due to impure mind. So we take from Hari Guru Vaishnavas inspiration, instruction, guidance, direction, what to do, what not to do. And then we accept it and then purify our mind rather than mind taking dictation from the senses. If mind takes dictation from the senses which are imbued with impurity, chasing after the sense objects, then one is going to degrade oneself in this world. Uddhared atmanatmanam atmanam avasadayet Atmaivahi Atmano Bandur Atmai Variparatmanaha is saying, Uddaret Atmanatmanam. By using the mind, one should elevate the soul in this world, not degrade the soul, he says. So this principle of satisfaction is also a very favorable quality that a devotee can cultivate. Then the mind will become more and more purer when we are satisfied with whatever is given. Actually, you know what is this satisfaction and cultivate it. My Guru Maharaj was once telling that Indra was a spoiled child, he said. Why? Because he was always given so much puja, labha, pratishta, man samman. And it becomes spoiled by it. When he was said no, he was screaming like a naughty child. Similarly, small children at home, they are given chocolate so much to eat. Whatever they wanted, they enjoy. And then later on when they grow to teenage, if something is told no, then immediately they scream like anything. So we all have to control our mind and senses by not becoming a naughty child. Actually, if you feed the mind and feed the senses with the things they demand, they are always going to grow like a fire. So therefore, beat the mind on the anvil with the holy name, he says. Chant the holy name more. Therefore, we put ourselves in a secluded place, which means withdraw ourselves from sense gratification, and then purify the mind by the chanting of the holy name. By doing these three things faithfully, the Supreme Lord is pleased. Tushyati Ashu Janardana. How wonderful it is. Who can please Krishna? He owns everything. What can you give him? What can you do for him that it will please him? At least this verse tells us three clear-cut principles that can very easily please Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki. Thank you very much.